You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
And welcome to Larry Connors USA. I am not Larry Connors. You just heard that. You sit there and go, what happened? Your voice got a little higher? What's happening, Larry? Don't worry. He'll be back tomorrow. I'm Crane Durham. And what a blessing it is to be here with you and Quentin and the rest of the crew right here on Larry Connors USA. You know what I love about the intro is the you can't handle the truth. I dig that because I think the truth sets us free. Yeah, quoting Jesus right from the start. And here's why. Because what I have done over my career in media is I've had the privilege of doing a show called Nothing But Truth. And I had the blessing of meeting one Larry Connors through my career. In fact, I interviewed him as he was delivering the news and the top-rated newscast in the St. Louis region. And it has been an incredible experience preparing to guest host his show because I know I can't fill his shoes. I know that. Does that mean I diminish myself? Hey, easy jumper. No way. It means that I believe in respect, and when somebody has had an extraordinary career, you don't discount that in any way. And you all know that. Larry Connors, USA, you're listening. It's good to be here. Lots of news, lots of things to get to. Of course, I just want to get the right story. Buttigieg? Yeah, he's out. Why now? We'll examine that. But first, former Vice President Joe Biden, who won South Carolina over the weekend, well, he can't get his story straight.
And look, right now, you have this president hasn't allowed his scientists to speak, number one. He has the vice president speaking, not the scientists who know what they're talking about, like Fauci.
I have never been muzzled, ever, and I've been doing this since the administration of Ronald Reagan. I'm not being muzzled by this administration. What happened, which was misinterpreted, is that we were set up to go on some shows. And when the vice president took over, we said, let's regroup and figure out how we're going to be communicating. So I had to just stand down on a couple of shows and resubmit for clearance. And when I resubmitted for clearance, I got cleared. So I have not been muzzled at all. That was a real misrepresentation of what happened.
Dr. Anthony Fauci. Yeah. I said I like the truth. See, the truth does set us free. But there are things being said about President Trump. And listen, I've criticized President Trump many a time. But the fact is, he is being assailed for things that are simply not true. And, well, you want another correction? Here's another correction.
They don't even have a test kit to determine whether or not someone has the disease.
Well, we've already tested over 3,600 people here in the United States. I'm not sure what he meant when he said there's no lab kit, because we, with historic speed, the CDC developed a lab test. We granted emergency use authorization to it at FDA. We promulgated it out in the country. There was a third element to the initial test, because we do believe in quality testing here in the United States. There was a third element to the test that was specific to all coronaviruses. Some labs were unable to replicate and validate their own performance on that. CDC never had trouble with that. So we've always been open for business at CDC for testing. We've had full throughput. We've had no delays on testing there. But as of Wednesday, we authorized over 40 labs to use the test with only the first two elements of that, specific to the novel coronavirus. Yesterday morning, we've authorized homebrew tests by certified clinical labs around the country. As I said, we now have of 75, the ability to test 75,000 people in the field at this moment, and that will increase radically over the next couple of weeks.
All right, so we're facing a crisis and we need the truth. And here you have the leading candidate, or arguably one of the top two in the sense of Bernie and Biden, and he's not getting his story straight. That's why you need the truth. That was HHS Secretary Alzar, and we'll talk more about the coronavirus and the latest developments. We also have a couple guests coming on that are pretty extraordinary, VIPs. Yes, to discuss the news events today, right here on Larry Connors USA. Crane Durham, guest hosting.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer and can save you a lot of unnecessary fear. One client called frantic. A test sample for an indoor swimming pool showed evidence of Legionella bacteria. Well, that meant the entire pool would have to be drained, then washed with acid. But Wellington Environmental found the pool was safe. The test sample was a false positive. In another case, a homeowner said a buyer had just backed out of a closing. The building inspector claimed he had found evidence of mold in a closet. That could be scary. Could certainly cost the deal. Wellington Environmental found it was not mold. It was traces of asphalt from the wheels of a suitcase. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA. Crane Durham, your host, guest host, and honored to be here. Thank you, Larry. He'll be back tomorrow. We've got a great show for you. If you missed the opening, remember this. It's all about the truth. That's what will set you free from a lot of Democratic lies. Wait a second. Are you partisan? Are you saying all Democrats lie? Easy, easy. Pull back just a little here. I am saying that to sell the socialist agenda, you cannot tell the truth. What do I mean? I mean Venezuela. I mean what we had a sharp contrast in the Cold War. So why is socialism popular right now? How is that happening? Well, education. Education system is teaching false narratives. We'll get to the 1619 project in a little bit, but right now what I want to hit on is the fact of freedom. Freedom, baby. Because I said the truth would set you free. Well, if you are free, then you are free to choose where your children would go to school. I think that's a pretty good idea. And Betsy DeVos, education secretary, was speaking this weekend at the CPAC summit, and she pointed out a little hypocrisy from AOC.
We have to understand that what...
And that is Crane's... That is not Betsy DeVos. I actually wanted to go to Charlie Kirk, who was talking about the education system. But Betsy DeVos, just for the record, she did lay out the hypocrisy for AOC, meaning AOC was bragging about her daughter getting into a particular school that she, a charter school. And she appreciated the choice for her goddaughter, pardon me, her goddaughter to do that. She was talking with Kellyanne Conway at the CPAC convention. I have been to that, by the way. Radio Row. It's crazy. I interviewed John Bolton there. Yeah. Well, years ago. It's true. I'm still a fan of Bolton. Both Michael and John. But I digress. Here it is. In a nutshell, how are we embracing a failed system? What's going on?
We have to understand that whatever happens on college campuses will soon happen in the halls of Congress. And we should not be cheering on the rise of a Marxist in our country in any form, shape, whatsoever. We defeated communism when the Berlin Wall fell down. But then we fell asleep at the wheel and we've allowed the same Marxist ideas to infiltrate the minds of our most prized possession in our country, which is our young people. And so you're exactly right, Mark, when you say that we should not be celebrating the rise of a Marxist. And you're all of a sudden seeing ideas that otherwise would have been considered radical in the Democrat Party now become mainstream. And so I get people ask me all the time, well, what can we do about this? What can I do about the rise of socialism in our country? And you hit the nail on the head. It's government-run schools that are the primary culprit for why this has happened. Bernie Sanders is just a byproduct of a broken culture. He's exploiting a generation that has been trained to be victims. He's exploiting a generation and a populace that wants to take other people's money away.
So as you hear Charlie Kirk, who is the Turning Point USA founder, goes on college campuses, sees what's happening. A lot of false narratives are being pushed, meaning we're not putting history in context. And if you don't put things in context, my pastor would say you would get conned by the text. Yeah, it's true. Oh, I thought that was brilliant. Absolutely. You know, he wasn't talking about politics. He was talking about scripture, and we're in that. But bottom line, I hear Charlie Kirk pointing out something. I don't know why he called me Mark, by the way, in my interview. It's Mark Levin. Yes, it was Mark Levin. Yes. The great one, Mark Levin, right. Well, here's the deal. As he's pointing out, there's a reason behind the movement. There's a reason we're here. And the idea of cheering on socialism is really at odds with history. And so I kind of step back on this because I'm a product of the Cold War. I grew up under Ronald Reagan. I visited Russia twice in the early 90s. And I got to tell you, the vestiges back then from communism were awful and haunt me to this day. And what we see currently in Cuba, historically in Cuba as well, or Venezuela, is we see people's lives being destroyed because the government comes in and takes over. And they do it in the name of compassion. That's scary stuff. Because now the government seemingly has to protect you from certain industries. But remember, the government, unlike the free market, has a total monopoly on power. And they can use that power to enforce their laws and regulations at the point of a gun. So you say, how can anybody with an IQ above room temperature embrace socialism? Well, you've got a lot of people on college campuses that are being taught history without context. I said it again. And when you do that, you distort history. It drives me nutty two buckles. Because I sit back and I go, wait a second. why did we drop two bombs on Hiroshima? Or excuse me, Hiroshima and Nagasaki 3 days later. Well, I learned because we needed unconditional surrender and the total loss of life in an invasion would have been horrible and greater. And Truman had to make that choice. Now, is that what being taught in the schools today? Not really. No, they're talking about, well, it was also something else. Oh, it was to intimidate the Russians. I'm sitting there going, no. So I go to the Patriot's Guide to History and the 90 plus myths or lies about it. I'm butchering the title right now, and I'll bring it back up. But here's the deal. You come back and you go, wait a second, did I get this wrong? People are saying this. I'm talking to kids about history, and they're telling me another version of history. And they're not really giving me the full context of the historic moment where Truman had to make the decision that he did. And Truman's decision was to save lives. And that's what he did. And what astounds me about this is that when you go back and you revise history, then you learn the wrong lessons. President Obama learned those wrong lessons. Remember, in Stuttgart, as he was speaking to the students there, he was talking about how we had a special responsibility because we were the only country to use nuclear weapons. Now, follow me here because this is important. I think we do have a special responsibility. But in the way of using nuclear weapons, we use nuclear weapons, or the atomic bomb specifically, to save lives against, well, at the time, Japanese imperialism, and to get the full surrender. The reason the second bomb was dropped was he wasn't going to, the emperor still wasn't going to give unconditional surrender. And without that, there's more death. So my point is, if you learn the wrong lessons, if you don't understand that that choice saved lives and there was no other choice really to make if you're interested in preserving life and liberty and winning the war, then I gotta tell you, you're probably gonna miscalculate future endeavors when it comes to world peace. And another thing in focusing on that is, imagine, well, that's foreign policy, Crane, that's something else out altogether. We do it with economics. We learn the wrong lessons. Well, you can't do that because economics, 2 + 2 = 4, Crane. That's how it works. Well, I'll tell you right now, in the next segment, we're going to be talking to Pete Sepp, president of the National Taxpayers Union, and I'm going to tell you that Bernie Sanders and the left's math, it's 2 + 2 = 5. And if you really want to know what the heart of the election is, it's about the truth. The truth about policies that we have had to deal with for 8 years with President Obama and policies that have been ushered in that saved the American dream. Thank you, Jesus. I got to tell you, I'm not a preacher, by the way. I just, you know, I mean that respectfully. I'm just telling you, the American dream was dying. And it could happen in one generation, just a generation away. Ask Ronald Reagan. So as you hear this information, you say, Crane, what about the coronavirus? I'll give you updates. Crane, what about Biden? Is he going to be able to win? Beat Sanders? Well, you'll get socialism and socialism light. Bad policy all the way around. So what I want to do is I want to go to the heart of the matter, like Don Henley, and get right down to it and say, why are we deciding on? And what we're deciding on is the future of America. It could be in the form of Bernie. It could be in the form of Biden. Or even Michael Bloomberg. That's a beauty. We'll get to that, too. But what you're deciding on is if you want America to fundamentally change. If you want 2 + 2 = 5, that means you want things to be whatever the government, the people in power say it is. Well, that's great if you agree with the people in power. I don't think it's great actually in that way, but some people would say that. Well, I agree with them, so that's okay. No, because what you're doing is you're going right at the truth. Whether that truth is economic truth or whether that truth is human nature, which does not have an expiration date. That's why our founding is so extraordinary and what is written in the Declaration is so magnificent. It recognizes human nature. It's why we didn't go the way of France and we went the way of the United States. And so if we forget that lesson, then we lose it all. And the truth is, that would be fundamental transformation in a very destructive way. And it would kill the human spirit. On the flip side, we'll get right into the numbers when it comes to tax policy. Boring. It's not boring. It's very concerning. Because we all have to pay taxes. So what policy works? Do tax cuts actually create more wealth? We'll ask President of the National Taxpayers Union, Pete Sepp, on the flip side. This is Larry Connors, USA.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors, USA.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back to Larry Connors, USA. I'm Crane Durham, privileged and honored to be filling in for Mr. Larry Connors, who will be back tomorrow. Fear not. So I told you in the last segment, that we are going to be talking to Pete Sepp of the National Taxpayers Union. He is in the bullpen. He is taking his cuts. He's getting warmed up. But before we get to Pete, I wanted to address something that I said in the last segment that was, well, it was like, what did you mean by that, Crane? Was it Stuttgart instead of Strasbourg, France? If anybody's listening there, yeah, I messed that one up. It wasn't Stuttgart. It was Strasbourg in France. President Obama. No, it wasn't that. Okay. Because you mentioned Biden, his victory, Super Tuesday coming up, Sanders, the truth. That was your overall. I mean, if this were an outline, that would be it. Nothing but truth. You can't handle the truth. That's right. That's why you're here with Larry Connors, USA. And I was mentioning the other contender, Pete Buttigieg. Wrong answer. I appreciate that, but he's out. Well, that was fast before Super Tuesday. Why would he do that? Establishment. Oh, doesn't like Bernie. All right, so it's Michael Bloomberg. And Michael Bloomberg, former mayor of New York, well, he has an endorsement, and he has named this person the co-chair of the National presidential campaign. I got an oldie but a goodie. Do you remember this? 2015 Baltimore mayor.
I've made it very clear that I worked with the police and instructed them to do everything that they could to make sure that the protesters were able to exercise their right to free speech. It's a very delicate balancing act, because while we try to make sure that they were protected from the cars and the other, you know, things that were going on, we also gave those who wished to destroy space to do that as well. And we worked very hard to keep that balance and to put ourselves in the best position to de-escalate. And that's what you saw this evening.
Here it is in a nutshell. That is Stephanie Rawlings Blake, former mayor of Baltimore, who gave people the room to riot, in essence. She clarified that the next day, but still very destructive. So what's the point? The point is, you're going to get leftism, whether you get Bloomberg or Sanders or Biden. And that's why we're going at the heart of the issue, and we'll have the heart of the issue on the flip side. This is Larry Connors, USA.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Oh, I'm just getting started. This is so cool. Larry Connors USA, Crane Durham sitting in, and the privilege to speak with you and the honor to sit in for Larry, who will be back tomorrow, fear not. Quentin put together an amazing show for y'all, giving you a little back behind the scenes, right? Because part of that is performance. Part of this is performance. Like the performance of debates. You see, I went through, and if you get the gist of the hour, if you understand what I'm all about, is the truth. Nothing but truth. And that's what Larry delivers. And that's why you're listening. So in keeping with that theme, I went through historical myths. Can you say myths? Yes, myths. Thank you, Al Gore. And how they impact our education system and why we have a socialist movement that's so popular, whether it's socialism or socialism light in the form of Bernie, Biden, and Bloomberg, respectively. So when I say these things, I want to make the case, because the truth will set you free. It's a beautiful thing. When it comes to foreign policy, referencing the Patriots' History of the United States, in that book, the authors of that book also released a book about myths and history. I said, well, you know, we can not apply context, and then you get conned by the text. And what happens is you make decisions based on false history. And therefore, you would make the wrong decision. But you say, ease up, Crane. Beep, beep, beep. Back it up, buddy. When it comes to economics and tax policy, we're dealing with numbers. So when we have the opportunity to speak with Pete Sepp, president of the National Taxpayers Union, he's not a heartbeat away. He is the president. We take it. Pete, welcome.
Great to be here.
So I wanted to play one clip for you, and this would be, speaking of performance, the debate between Joe Biden and Paul Ryan. Here is the exchange that took place in 2012, vice presidential debate.
You can cut tax rates by 20% and still preserve these important preferences for middle-class taxpayers.
Not mathematically possible.
It is mathematically possible. It's been done before. It's precisely what we're proposing.
It has never been done before.
It's been done a couple of times, actually.
It has never been
done before. Jack Kennedy lowered tax rates, increased growth.
Ronald Reagan. Oh, now you're Jack Kennedy.
Ronald Reagan. I know.
No, this is
Mr.
Time.
President,
this is
I know you're under a lot of duress to make up for lost ground. But I think people will be better served if we don't keep interrupting each other.
Well, don't take all the 4 minutes then.
So I'm sitting there, Pete, and I remember what the vice president, how rude he was in the sense of performance and how he's going to make his case. And I think I was really disgusted by his history, not just his obnoxious laugh. His history. He didn't get it right. Tell me, can you cut taxes and increase revenue?
You can increase revenue. You can also increase economic growth if the type of tax reduction is properly implemented, properly designed. And, of course, Joe Biden, back in 2012, from that clip you played, actually gave up that very point. First, he's accusing Paul Ryan of saying you can't possibly cut taxes and increase economic growth. And then Paul Ryan shoots back, and then Mr. Biden says, oh, so now you're Jack Kennedy. Well, here's one example. The fact is that President John F. Kennedy first proposed a large federal tax rate cut in late 1962. Now, it was not actually enacted until after his death in 1964 under Lyndon Johnson. Now, the Kennedy-Johnson tax cut, as it was called at the time, slashed individual income tax rates across the board. The highest rate went from above 90% to 20%. The lowest rate dropped to just 14% from 20%. So 90 to 70, 20 to 14, and a lot of reductions in between. Now, a 1967 study by Arthur Oaken, who was a Council of Economic Advisors member, he found that the tax cut increased gross national product by $36 billion. Another study said that by 1969, the tax reduction had eased the unemployment rate by up to 0.8 percentage points. I say percentage points because that's a pretty large amount. If your unemployment goes from 6% to 5.2%, you're talking about millions of people with additional economic opportunities. That is just one example from the 20th century among Ronald Reagan's proposed tax reductions as another, Calvin Coolidge's presidency, and Andrew Mellon, the Treasury Secretary at the time in the 1920s, helped to create the so-called Roaring Twenties with tax rate reductions. Bill Clinton signed a tax rate reduction on capital gains into law during his presidency. That helped to touch off a boom in the stock market and the economy in the late 1990s that kept many millions of Americans not only prosperous, but increased their prosperity. So those are just several examples of many, many more in the United States at the state level, the federal level, and even around the world. There are international examples of this working. So this is not a fantasy. It's reality. It's history, not theory.
And so you have the hard numbers, yet we have a good portion of the Democratic Party embracing socialism, or historically socialism light. So what are they pointing to? Are they pointing to hard numbers? Because Denmark is often invoked instead of Venezuela. And they say, hey, you know, we can have it all and we can have free stuff. Your thoughts?
We can certainly have free stuff, but it means a lot more people are going to have to pay for it. That's the ironic paradox, the joke of socialist tax systems. If we want to emulate Europe, for example, especially Scandinavia with their tax policies, which also help to underwrite a major government-run healthcare system, okay, we can certainly do that, but it's going to come at the price of middle-class tax increases. Take a look, for example, at Sweden's top income tax rate, about 57%. Where does that kick in? At an income of just $70,000 U.S. equivalent. Now, that is a tax rate currently not seen here in the United States, and a middle-class family in the United States today making roughly $70,000 would be paying an income tax rate of between 10 and 15%, depending on their various economic circumstances, whether they itemize deductions, so on and so forth. The point is, socialism requires a massive sacrifice from the middle class and the working class, not just the wealthy. This tax system in the United States today is highly progressive, in fact, more progressive than many Scandinavian countries' tax systems, precisely because we can fund most of our government from wealthy people. You cannot do that under socialism.
And when you increase the burden on people that have been successful, does that actually sustain itself in the way of promoting growth, in the sense of the fairness argument that is often applied to these discussions?
No, certainly not. If you look at European Union countries, which tend to have higher tax rates, not only on the wealthy, but on middle class citizens, you find that the economic growth rates are generally 50% lower, even 100% lower than the way they have been historically in the United States. I mean, we've been, until very recently, looking at average growth rates annually of 2%, even 2.5%. European countries are lucky to get 1 or 1.5%. So that one percentage point is a gigantic difference in a multi-trillion dollar economy. It's the difference that allows millions of more people to be employed. It's the difference that allows millions more households to put money aside for their financial futures. It's the difference that allows hundreds of thousands of small businesses to continue thriving and perhaps even expanding their operations. It's very important, and it's something that many commentators, many Democratic presidential candidates just want to ignore and sweep aside.
So they can't sell it on the numbers. So how do they sell it? You got less than 30 seconds.
They sell it by saying you can indeed have a free lunch. We can boost benefits. We can make the rich pay for it, and everybody will be happier and better off. It's just not true. The numbers don't show it. History won't show it. And if we implement it here in the United States, we will have lost the special dream that allows people to get ahead and succeed on their own brain power, their own willpower.
Pete Sepp, President of the National Taxpayers Union, thank you. Please get to a university fast and educate people. We need you. Thank you, sir.
Always a pleasure.
Take care, my friend. On the flip side, we're going to talk about the free lunch, the whole free lunch idea, and the meaning of the word free. Freedom, baby! We are Larry Connors, USA, Crane Durham, guest hosting.
Keep on falling.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back to Larry Connors USA. Crane Durham guest hosting. Larry back tomorrow. Fear not. Honor to be here with you, Quentin. With you, the audience. Thank you for taking the time. We're about the truth, nothing but truth, and that is what we've been exploring in many different lenses. The lens of truth when it came to debate performances, for example. How would people debate? How well would they do? And I got to tell you that debates, I love debates. I can't stand moderators. Unless, of course, they're actually good and dispassionate. But I think, actually, if you put two presidential candidates up there, let them go all night long. That's right, Lionel. You must do it all night long. What do I mean by that? Lincoln Douglas? What I mean is they should have such a command of the issues. I went back and I reviewed some debates over the weekend. And, yeah, I'm a pretty happening guy. Okay. And so I go back, and I actually wrote my master's thesis on debates and political communication. You know what's really interesting? People will watch debates. If you let people go back and forth on the issues, and it exposes how much they know and how much they don't know. But if you simply bring in history and the truth, this is why I'm a conservative, one of the many reasons. And I don't dislike people that are liberal. I mean, feelings? Feelings. Only for you. I have to use my feelings to sell an agenda that doesn't work. That's what I see. We just talked to Pete Sepp, for example, and I said the numbers don't sell it, but envy does. If I can look at somebody else and say, they're doing better than you, let's take from them, give to you, I can buy into that. I'm only human. Thank you, Billy Joel. It's true. I mean, I'm not above it. That's why these things still get traction. What should save us or inoculate us from these ideas is the truth, and that is contextually honest history, be it economic, foreign policy, or otherwise. And in debates, articulating that very message passionately, because you bet I'm passionate about freedom and being an American. And I'm not talking hyphens here, because it's not about the color of your skin or your gender. It's about what the promise is for our country, outlined in the Declaration, which was highlighted by the great Martin Luther King when he referenced the promissory note. Live up to what we have outlined. And that means that we must limit government. Some people will say that means expand government. No. Sorry. Wrong. Wrong answer. It actually means limit government. It actually means that there are inalienable rights. And those rights can't be taken away. Definition. So as you look at those and you see what government is trying to accomplish, and you see the history of what they've tried to accomplish. You see the destruction, the blood, the body bags. And you say, how can anybody embrace this? This never worked. Because it doesn't recognize human nature, people acting in their own self-interest. And it automatically says, hey, I'm from government, so I can wave a magic wand and it doesn't have to add up. Well, people that do that, like in Venezuela, now are eating their pets. And it's horrible. And as we embrace America and we see these ideas articulated, I hope President Trump does a little reviewing of one Ted Cruz destroying Bernie Sanders in a debate. I hope he goes back and checks out Ronald Reagan and how he articulated what freedom means, as well as our obligation as Americans to speak to free people around the world. Are you a neocon, Crane? Easy. Take it easy. Hold back. No. Because I don't even know what that means. But I'm a believer in freedom and the American dream for all. And on the flip side, we're going to explore the American dream in this time of crisis and how it's being impacted by the coronavirus. And specifically, how the reporting on the issue and the exploitation of these issues is hurting. And the responsibility to call that out when people are weaponizing a national crisis and a worldwide crisis, a pandemic. And you know what we're going to do? How are we going to do that? We're just going to tell the truth. Just tell the truth. Sometimes it's painful. I remember in high school, I skipped school. I went in. The guy, Mr. Williams, he said, "Hey, Crane, what'd you do?" I told him the truth. I got suspended, but I didn't get thrown out. And the truth set me free. All right, Crane Durham, Larry Connors, USA, having the time of my life. We'll be back. And we will be back soon. Larry Connors, USA.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.